Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
Keep your Bible there, Psalm 91. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. A time to pray. Now is not a time to fear. It's not a time to run. It's not a time to despair. It's not a time to freak out. It's a time to pray. The president has called for a National Day of Prayer. We have concerns. We have uncertainties. We are facing something that we only, you know, thought about in movies, but now it's become a reality. But we are doing, or some are doing, desperate shopping. Some are worried about their supplies. Some are a little bit despair. And even a couple of nights ago, we were sitting around as a family talking about it, and we were getting concerned. And we were worrying about it. But I think our energy would be better spent praying. It should keep us and turn us to prayer. Probably, maybe for some of you, you have had times of turning to God through prayer because of circumstances. But if we be honest, it takes sometimes a tragedy to bring us to prayer. Oftentimes we're going along in life, and we're dealing with our problems, and we're facing life, but often we're doing it in our own strength, not in God's strength. Often we're doing it alone, not seeking God's best. And so times like these are times of prayer. And as you read the Psalms, we're just looking at one. We could look at many. But it was the great tragedies and trials that brought David to prayer. It brought him to his knees. It was through those circumstances, through those difficulties, that brought him to prayer. And the deepness of the Psalms is also manifest in the fact that he came out of those dark times. And as he came out of those dark times, he understood more about God. And so we see this Psalm, five principles from this psalm about prayer. And the first one is this: we're safe under his shadow. We are safe under his shadow. Notice verse 1 says this: he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when you see a shadow, usually there's something smaller behind it. Or when we think of a shadow, maybe that is a little spooky. But he's saying here that when we dwell with God through Christ we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access directly to God through Jesus. And he says we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Think about that. That as we're facing life, God's shadow is there over us. And what is behind the shadow? The God that created the universe. He's way bigger than the shadow. We're living in the shadow. His shadow is overcoming us. And so this morning, as we think of these difficult times, we think of his shadow. We think of him being over us. This word for Most High means possessor of heaven and earth. During World War I, the British government would read daily Psalm 91. And they would give little pocket New Testaments to all the soldiers, and on that New Testament it would say, "My shield." Because they knew that their protection needed to be much greater than their army. They needed the protection of God. So we see we're under his shadow. Then we see we're secure in his fortress. Secure in his fortress. Notice what it says. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So when we think of a fortress, we think of a safe place, we think of a secure place, we think of thick walls. If you've ever visited any castles or fortress areas, they're usually surrounded by big walls. They're usually up on a hill. They're usually very difficult for an enemy to come to and invade. And so he's saying, I will say, notice he says, I will say of the Lord. So instead of saying I'm despaired or I'm discouraged or I'm scared, we should say, the Lord is my fortress. He's my refuge. I will trust in him. God is the fortress, not a building. He says he's the fortress. God is that fortress that we can find safety, security in him. He is a fortress. Surely he shall deliver you, verse 3, from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. God is that fortress. And then we see that we're stable in his truth. We're stable in his truth. The lie is that we're in despair. The lie is there is no help. But notice what he says in verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. His truth, when we have the truth, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because we know what the truth says. He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flies by day. And if you remember, David was a warrior. David fought many battles. And so he's right in this psalm in the context of a soldier that is facing arrows. We could say bullets today. He says, you'll not be afraid. Why? Because God's truth, he is there. Our life is in his hand. And Jesus said that. You can't add another breath to your life. You can't buy another breath. You can do all you want and try to fret and be scared, but God, he said, don't be afraid. Because in the quietness of God, with God, and when we're under his shadow and when we take refuge in him, we have the peace of God that passes understanding. We have the wisdom of God that shows us in which direction we need to do and what we need to do. Also, he goes on to say, nor of the pestilent that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. God knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows your needs. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And again, David's talking in the context of war and enemies, but whatever enemy we're facing, whatever loss of work time, danger of sickness, uncertainty about visiting people that are in the hospital or sick, God knows. God's there. And so we're stable in his truth. And then we're stuck in his hand. It'd be better held in his hand, but I had to get all S's for this, so this is kind of a forced point. But maybe it has more meaning that we're stuck in his hand. We're held in his hand. Notice what it says in verse 19. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Now think about that. He says, so he's talking about this fortress. He's talking about under his wing. He's talking about this dwelling place. But he's also saying, I will trust. So this is something that we do consciously. This is something that when we're tempted to despair, we think, wait a minute, I will trust in God. I will come back to that refuge place. I'm not going to let myself go in a frenzy. And it's very easy to do. And that's all we hear today. And we're surrounded by all this fear. But in the end of the day, we can be as cautious as we can, and that's all we can do. The rest is in God's hands. So because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For you shall give, this is where I got stuck in his hands, he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. God will send his angels, and talks in Hebrews about the angels that protect God's elect. And so can you think this morning of more powerful hands than God's hands? God will keep us in his hands. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent. You shall trample under foot, and it will not destroy us. And so, again, David's talking in this context of a soldier, and we're in a battle today against an unseen enemy. And Satan wants to use that to bring us, to have us overcome by fear. But shall not fear, because God's with us. And so we're in his hands, we're held in his hands, and then we're solidified in his love. Notice what it says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Let's use this time as a time to set our love and affections upon God. And through this time, there are going to be, even myself, I'm a little aggravated. I'm like, you know, we're getting momentum. Is this going to affect Easter? You know, I'm thinking how many we're going to have for Easter. And I'm getting a little aggravated with this virus. And it's teaching me to turn my love back to God. It's not the successes of the church or what my plans are or what I'm trying to do or what I'm trying to accomplish. God is putting a monkey wrench in a lot of people's plans right now. And we're not liking it. Not sounding good. And maybe there's something here. He says, because he has set his love upon me. He's talking about us setting our love upon God. He says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice what he says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's times like this that bring us to God. We have, he says, with long life I will satisfy and show my salvation. Think about this. We have eternal life. We have eternity to spend with Jesus. This virus, I think, honestly, I think we're still uncertain. A part of us are thinking, this is going to pass in a few weeks. This isn't going to be as serious as they're talking about. We're hoping that. And then there's part of us thinking, is this the pandemic that they've been predicting for a long time? It's funny, somebody put a TED Talk of Bill Gates 10 years ago or 8 years ago, giving a TED Talk exactly about this and saying, we're prepared for nuclear war, we're not prepared for biological war or this virus. And I don't know if we are. And it is something that shows our frailty and that we need God. And we read about the Black Plague, we read about the influenza, we read about these things in history. And we wake up this morning in 2020, and many of the churches in the area have canceled services. Many, our kids aren't going to school. We don't know when they're going to school. We heard from the missionary that he's in lockdown in his house. And we're thinking, this is getting real. Still in a little denial. We're hoping the media is blowing it out of proportion. But honestly, like, I think about it, and my opinions right now mean absolutely nothing. I'm not a doctor. I am not in the government. I've not spent hours and hours studying this thing. And we read a few posts on Facebook and we think we know something. I really don't know. But I know one thing. We're in his hand. We're under his shadow. We can dwell in his presence. He is a fortress. Our lives are in his hands. And it should be something that brings us back to him and say, God, we need you. Show your purpose in this. And help me to be trusting in you. Even if I get sick, even if I die, to the last moment, I'm showing in my life that I'm trusting fully in you. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for this psalm of comfort and this psalm of healing. Lord, we pray that we would trust in you, stay under your wings, stay in your shadow, and that we would honor and glorify you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.